What's up, dudes? And also, what's up to like the 7 whole females that listen to this? Shout out to the 6 or 7 of you. It's been a minute since I've done this, so I had to basically dust off this microphone, and hopefully I still remember how to half-ass talk. Obviously, it's summer. Obviously, the draft occurred a few days ago, so I'm going to go over that, talk about a few things. Overall, pretty happy with where the Duke guys went. Turn that off. And, yeah, it was decent. I think it's funny how they're always saying all the movement that's going to go on the draft is going to be a busy one. It's going to be wild. They're always pretty lame. Woj looks like a punchable, just geek nerd. Like, how did he get into that position? If you know what Woj looks like, if you're just a college basketball fan, you don't really look into it. But, I mean, Woj, first of all, it's a hell of a name, Wojnowski. And secondly, he just looks so punchable. Like, he looks like the husband that gets cheated on all the time, but he makes good money, so he gets kept around. But he works a lot, so his wife is, you get where I'm going with it. But he's pretty funny. He's a good dude. Obviously, ESPN signed him so that he would stop spoiling the draft picks. Because that's what he was doing for Yahoo. He was spoiling the picks before they happened. So ESPN basically signed him so he'd stop doing that so it could happen live. Well, then Shams, who is like the guy under him, who is like his prodigy, his apprentice, you know, he stayed at Yahoo and he was still spoiling the picks. So Woj being a, I don't even know what you want to call it, like, just being stupid, he was tweeting. So he wasn't spoiling them, but he was tweeting like, the Jazz are highly unlikely to pass on Grayson Allen with the 21st pick, or they have no plans to pass. So he's not saying, but he is saying that they're going to draft him without saying it. You know what I'm saying? Jeez, I should have thought that through a little better. So that was pretty hilarious. And to be honest, that was like the funniest, most entertaining thing of the night. And yeah, that was hilarious. Of course, the Suns, they had the first pick. They took Ayton. I mean, I didn't watch too much of him this year. I don't know. Like I said, when it comes to recruiting or guys that might commit to Duke or other top players, you know, if they're not in the ACC, I'm not watching them too much. Like, if there's a game on at 9 p.m. on a Thursday night and Duke's not playing, I'm going to be watching it. But, I mean, that doesn't always translate to me knowing about, you know, a player's potential. I'm high on Bagley because I watched him so much, but every single time I watched him, he seemed like the best player on the floor. Best teammate, I don't know, but most passionate about winning and most athletic and skilled on the offensive end with insane upside, especially in today's modern NBA. But I watched him a lot. I mean, I don't really think the league is huge for big men like Ayton now. I don't think he's going to be Joel Embiid. Embiid is really skilled, and I don't know. I'm not going to say shit because I said Donovan Mitchell, Hornets, please do not draft him, and they didn't, and they drafted Monk, and I thought that was a good idea, which it may be in the future, but look at Donovan Mitchell. Like, but a lot of people said that. That was like the popular opinion was, you know, he's coming off the ACC tournament and he had like 8 points and they lost. So, I mean, for guards especially, you can't really tell. It doesn't translate well because they're in a system. There's so much more spacing in the NBA. your quickness and athleticism can really be shown a lot better because of the spacing. You can get by people a lot easier, like James Harden. And if the defense closes, then you kick it out to a shooter. And if you're like James Harden also, you can knock down a three if they, you know, sag off of you when you have the ball. And Donovan Mitchell is kind of doing that. And if you play up on him, he'll drive. And he's a great finisher at the rim. And also, you know, he can make smart plays. You've seen it already at the age that he's at now. So that's a little different. That's why these teams, they take people off of potential, age, and a lot of times what, you know, you're supposed to, I feel like you should take what you need as far as position-wise and as far as your team, but sometimes there's just a steal that you see for a team, and they just have to take him because of the upside and the potential. But like I said, you just never know. All these like player comparisons, all these upside, floor, ceilings, things like that, like they're all stupid because nobody knows. But they're content to listen to, so that's why everyone gives their opinion and acts like they're an expert. That's why a lot of people weren't high on Donovan Mitchell. I mean, think if the Lakers would have drafted him instead of Lonzo. Lonzo's going to be good, I guess. But, I mean, think if they would have drafted him instead of Lonzo. It would be a lot more appealing for, you know, like LeBron and Kawhi and people like that, which that's a whole nother situation, is where is LeBron going to go? Where is Kawhi going to go? What about Paul George? You know, Sixers, Boston, L.A., Houston, what's going to happen? You know, I would just go anywhere where J.R. Smith isn't. And so, yeah. But that's just, it's just weird. The NBA is weird because of money. It's a business. You make business decisions. It's not always about the team. Sometimes the owner wants to save money. Sometimes they want to win. Sometimes a player wants a max contract, even though that's going to give them less of a chance to win a championship. Sometimes a player will take less. And then also one injury can change everything. I would have much rather watched Houston versus Cleveland in the finals. Chris Paul gets hurt, it ruins everything. So, and Houston shot like they were blind. Went off the rails a little bit, but it is what it is. And then with the college, you know, I think the one-and-done rule is going to be done within the next few years. Players are going to be able to come straight out of high school. It'll be interesting to see. So, I mean, if that happens, will it still be able to be one-and-done if you don't come out of high school, or will it be a two-year minimum? I've said it a couple times. I want it to be a two-year minimum or straight out of high school. That would make college a lot more exciting, a lot more, you know, you can get a lot more attached. I mean, you loved that team last year, but imagine if they, I mean, Bagley probably never would have came. But imagine if they lost that game that they lost in the tournament, and you're like, wow, that was a good game, that team was great, but we get them for it. We at least get Carter or whoever for another year. And think of how much more fun that would be and how much more attached you could be. All these players coming this year, you're going to like them, you're going to enjoy watching them, and they're going to be gone in the blink of an eye. So I like the talent that they bring in, and I like that Duke is just throwing players into the league. I mean, like every team has two Duke players, and it's just like, wow, they're all so young. You're going to get to watch them for a long time. That makes the league interesting. But then again, it's not interesting until Golden State, you know, isn't the only team that you feel like can win the finals. Shout out to Quinn Cook. He's like the only dude I'm going to give props to. I don't know. I'm just glad for him because you know how hard he worked. So then, number two, obviously, the Kings. There was a lot of questions about where Bagley was going to go. A lot of people were saying he's going to go fifth, fourth. Some people were ridiculously high on him, me. And some people were saying he's never going to try on defense and stuff like that. I don't know what they're talking about. If you got to watch Duke and watch how competitive he was. I mean, it was a bunch of freshmen playing zone defense. But watch games where he just fucking took over. And there's not a lot of people that did that. There's going to be bigger people in the league, more athletic, smarter. But he's a workhorse. He's a learner. He has all the talent. He has all the whole skill set. I mean, the whole skill set. So, number two, I thought that was a good pick. Only other person, maybe, what's that dude? Luka Doncic. He may be great, but I haven't watched him. But anytime someone's going to get drafted from the Spanish League or the Euro League or overseas, I'm always like, I don't know. I don't know how well it translates. Sometimes it's great. Porzingis is obviously going to be great. Dirk. Who else? I mean, there's some good ones, but they were so high on Rubio, so high on Dragan Bender, Hernan Gomez. I mean, I guess. I'd take Bagley just because fan-wise, I feel like the fans, they're stoked about that. And just potential. But Doncic may end up being a superstar. So, I mean, I think they had a good pick at number two. I mean, at number two, you get Bagley or Doncic or whoever. And then you look at number two for the Hornets a few years back. Davis to the Pelicans. And then they get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I would have much rather had drafted Bagley number two. So, I think that's a great pick. And it makes me happy that, you know, he's going over there with Harry Giles. Hopefully Harry gets healthy this year and gets to play some, gets worked in. But just seeing them on Instagram and stuff like that, and seeing that Bagley was happy to go there, it's cool to see them both there. So we'll see how all that plays out. You know, they have Fox. I think he's going to have a good year. Still working in. Willie Cauley-Stein, I like him defensively. Like, if you put him beside Bagley, I think that helps defensively for Bagley, for him to get work, you know, caught up to speed as far as the NBA defense schemes and everything. Willie Cauley-Stein is a really good rim protector, and he can move his feet well, so that's cool. Again, I mean, a lot of us don't really care about the NBA, and Sacramento's not going to be great next year, but seeing how young him and Harry Giles are, seeing how young Tatum is. Kyrie's like 25, 26. And then, you know, Grayson, all the Duke guys, Ingram. It's like Winslow. And apparently Miami is shopping Winslow around. If I'm Boston and I'm losing Marcus Smart to free agency or whatever because you don't want to pay him, I try to grab Winslow. I would have grabbed Gary Trent if I was Boston to try to throw him into that Marcus Smart role or work him into it along with maybe Rozier and whoever else they have. But, I mean, Winslow shot good from three this year, like 40-some percent. He's just getting better. He was handling the ball a lot, doing it well, and he's an A++ defender. And he's only going to get better. So if they're shopping him, if the asking price is a good deal, then I probably trade for him if I'm somebody, because he's like 20 years old, 21, 22, something like that. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get traded. Miami is kind of, I mean, it just seems like they're not really going anywhere. So if he gets sent to like a Boston or LA, or, I mean, he's not going to get sent to LA probably, but he's a good piece, in my opinion. I love Winslow, so. Where was I? Bagley. But, yeah, I was just saying, seeing all these players, how young they are from Duke, it's like, wow, like, they're not in their prime yet. They still have, like, another 5 years before they're probably in their prime, like, maximum prime. So, that's awesome. And then it's just, they're just going to flood the league with more Duke players next year. Probably do the same thing the next year. And that's dope to me. So, that gives a little incentive to when, you know, Boston is playing on ESPN on a Wednesday night. You get to see Tatum and Kyrie. And maybe they're playing against the Lakers and it's Ingram. It's like, okay, now I kind of want to watch. Like, I'm actually a little attached. Like, I'm not attached because I don't care about the teams. But seeing those Duke players, I mean, I know everybody agrees. Like, when you see a highlight of Winslow dunking on somebody, or you see Kyrie saucing somebody up, crossing them over, making them fall, hitting a three, hitting a game winner, it's just sick. I mean, like, we're not really used to it. I mean, I know, like, Boozer and Lance Thomas and people like that, Singler, JJ's been around for a long time, but we're not used to having these star potential Duke players in the league. So it's nice for a change, and I enjoy it. Three, you had the Dallas Mavericks send the number five pick. And the Hawks get, who did the Hawks get? Trae Young. They got Trae Young. Not a fan of his suit. Not a fan of him, really. I just feel like too small. I mean, maybe he's got motivation to prove everybody wrong and he can shoot good and stuff like that, but I mean, the league is just so pick and roll oriented, getting mismatches. If I'm a team, I want a team where my starting five on the defensive end, there's not many opportunities for mismatches. And what I mean by that is that my point guard is not undersized and can defend pretty well. And if he's not, if he is undersized and can't defend great, he better be like Curry. He better have some skill set that is just undeniable. And I don't know if Trae Young has that, just because you haven't seen him in the league yet. You saw what he did with Oklahoma, but that doesn't mean it's going to translate. I mean, you can compare him to Jimmer Fredette, or you can compare him to Steph Curry, but you're just going to have to see how it plays out. And then Doncic went to the Mavs, and I mean, that'll be cool. Him, Dennis Smith, and Harrison Barnes, I guess. And they might try to sign Capella, so it might be interesting to see them. They got Dirk. So, no, I like the Mavs. Anyways, enough about, that's basically, you know, Michael Porter falls to the Nuggets. Obviously has something wrong with his back or something. And then Gary Trent, I thought he was going to go to the Celtics. And I was like, wow, it's going to be Gary Trent, Kyrie, and Jason Tatum. It's going to be a Duke lineup, and it's going to be the swaggiest amount of swag on one team, which is Boston, which kind of sucks because they're like a racist fan base. they have a history for being like racist white assholes. So that's kind of why I don't really care for Boston, plus Paul Pierce. Even though he doesn't play there anymore, it still smells like Paul Pierce. I'm just like, ugh. Like, Paul Pierce was talking shit to LeBron on the sidelines game 7. LeBron's like, oh, I guess I got to end your career again, even though it's already over. And you're like, he's like a terrible analyst. It's like cringeworthy watching Paul Pierce talk on ESPN. Chauncey Billups and Jalen Rose are like, ugh, like, why? Shut up, shut up. They make fun of him, which is kind of funny. And then, you know, seeing Kyrie and Tatum and all them there, it's like, it's a lot more fun. Like, I'm like, oh, Boston's all right now. And I was glad to see them beat the Sixers, because the Sixers were a little overhyped, riding their high horse. Ben Simmons thinking he's a GOAT. Joel Embiid, like, running his mouth and shit. And then Tatum was like, nah. No. So, that made me like him a little more. But, yeah, I thought Trent was going to go to Boston because I thought they could use him. And then I thought he got drafted to the Kings, right? And then I was stoked about that because Harry, Bagley, and Trent. And then he got traded to the Blazers. I don't know if McCollum's on the way out for the Blazers, but I guess he'll get some good playing time and stuff there. And it'll be cool to see him play with Lillard. But that's also a situation I feel like you could get stuck in and kind of just lost in the, you know, lost in the crowd. So we'll see. But, I mean, I think they got a good pick because his size, you know, his dad played in the NBA, and he's got him in that right mindset of work hard, you know, act like a bulldog, and, you know, play like there's no tomorrow. I mean, that's kind of how he plays. He's like a bulldog. He's got great size already. He's only going to get stronger. He's only going to get more in shape. He's only going to get better defensively, and his shot's already there. So I'm excited to see how he plays out. Kind of wish he would have went somewhere else, though. Other than that, you know, the talk of the town is Grayson Allen. I read a tweet that I really liked. And it said, it was by Sports Angle. It said, Grayson Allen, a real cautionary tale. Could have left as a freshman, instead stayed 3 more years at a place that treated him like a king, got a college degree, and got drafted probably exactly where he would have been drafted 3 years ago. The horror. Facts. The only thing is the hate that he got from the media for staying longer. The white guy at Duke who tripped somebody. That's the only downfall. But he doesn't regret it. He had a great time. I am very glad he stayed all 4 years. And I just hate they didn't grab one more championship. But, you know, in the draft, workouts, interviews, and things of that nature, he impressed everyone. They said he's a real competitor. Athletically, he's off the charts. Shot-wise, he worked out for a few teams, first-round teams. Took just random jump shots and threes and missed like 7 shots in an entire hour of just a vigorous shooting workout, which I expected him to do that good. Then interviews, they just said he's like a real competitor and they could see him being a real game changer on the offensive and defensive end. I mean, the game is about spacing and defense and athleticism now. And for him, you know, he kind of fits that JJ role, only more athletic. And not more upside as a shooter, but all around of what he can be. He can be more than a shooter. But he doesn't have to be a ball handler, but he can handle the ball. I think he had to do too much at Duke. And the scheme of the team the last few years was kind of like, we don't know our identity. Grayson, go get us a bucket. Or go get lost in the corner because we don't have a point guard that is an A++ point guard who is running the team and getting open guys the ball. So I think he fell in like slumps here and there. I think he couldn't find his way here and there. And you saw that. Everybody saw that. And then he had games where he'd explode for 37, 40, whatever. So the interviews and the draft workouts and everything really gave him more upside. And they probably think that he can make a difference now. He's mature now, and he's been coached by Coach K for 4 years, and he has the stamp of approval from Coach K. Also, Coach K said the only player he's ever coached like Marvin Bagley was Kyrie Irving, and he doesn't just say shit like that. So if the Kings heard that, I'd take him too. I would have took him if I was the Suns, to be honest. But yeah. That was cool that Coach K said that. So, Grayson going to the Jazz. I love that. And I mean, I'm a Jazz fan now. I like Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell likes Grayson Allen. Donovan running up to Grayson Allen to hug him and just so excited and happy for him when he got drafted there. It turned like 80% of people to not hate. Well, not 80%. People still hate him. It turned a lot of people to not hate him and to say, oh, I clicked on the Jazz picture of Grayson. And 90% of the responses were, I think he's a good pickup. I think he's going to make a real difference. I can't wait to see him in a Jazz jersey. If Donovan Mitchell approves of him, I 100% approve of him. And I was just like, yes. I'm happy for him because he deserves that. Like, he's not a bad kid anyway. He made a few dumbass mistakes. I've done worse and regretted it immediately. You do things like that, especially in competition. I've, like, punched my baseball helmet. I've got kicked out of a game for, like, cussing, throwing dirt on people and stuff. And I'm just like, why did I do that shit? It was literally because in the moment I was just so mad that something didn't go my way when I tried as hard as I could. And I still got out, or I still, you know, something went my way, bad call, whatever it is, and I just acted like an idiot for a split second. And that's all it takes, is a split second. Now, I'm way different. I mean, I'm 22 now. I wouldn't do stuff like that. I've learned the hard way. I feel like if that was on the big stage, I'd be hated just as much. So, it makes sense. It's the other thing that I thought was hilarious was how everyone blasted him, all the analysis, all ESPN, all these fucks blasted him when he tripped somebody, which was a long time ago, or when he did anything competitive. The tripping's wrong. You got to learn the hard way from that. It's not right. But he shouldn't get kicked off a team. Shouldn't get blasted and be the number one trending topic for the wrong reasons. However, now, that was the popular opinion back then. It got clicks, it got attention, it got ad revenue. However, now, all of them that said that now like him. Why? Because the team said, we like that. We like that competitive nature he has. We like how he wants to win over anything else. We like how he's about the team. We like how he played at Duke. We really like what he can turn into, and the tripping stuff doesn't bother us because we see it as a competitive edge. Yeah, you might have to hone it down a little bit, but the NBA is different. Look at Draymond Green. If he's on your team, you love him. I don't like him. And I don't think Grayson Allen will ever bitch as much about foul calls as Draymond Green or any of those other fucks that just get on my nerves. So it's just funny to see all those analysis that were saying that go back and say, I'm really high on Grayson Allen. The tripping stuff doesn't bother me because it doesn't bother the teams. I think he's going to be a mid-first rounder, and I think whoever gets him is going to love him. I know Boston liked him, but I guess Utah did too. Obviously, Quinn Snyder is the coach who went to Duke, obviously. He's a great coach, great schematic coach. He does more with less as far as talent, and they're going to be good next year. They're going to be fun to watch because they're a team that will scheme to beat you, just like the Celtics will with Brad Stevens. You saw them beat the Thunder. I mean, a lot of people had the Thunder and the Rockets squaring up. But, you know, rookie Donovan Mitchell and his squad were too good. Rudy Gobert is good, too, with the length and defensive mindset and able to finish at the rim. Donovan's good. He's improving his game. And he can do it all. And then Grayson can too. I mean, Grayson can bring the ball up. Grayson can make a good pass. Grayson can knock down an open shot. Grayson can fly by you and dunk on you. So it's going to be fun. So that's it for the draft. I mean, it was decent. It was normal. I'm glad that he went in the first round. That's the main thing. I'm happy for that. And then that's just a few more players in the league that we're going to get to watch for a long time. So we'll have to see where all these other guys sign or opt out of free agency or whatever. But other than that, I mean, you know, if it ain't Duke, don't really care. So, but I like basketball. That's basically it. I mean, the team is practicing and whatnot. I see Trey Jones posting pictures with Nolan Smith, Cam Reddish. Zion's a freak of nature, obviously. RJ Barrett is, I mean, he's probably going to be the best player on the team. So, I'm excited. I mean, I'm stupid excited for all that. But it's just a waiting game, you know, until the preseason starts and the scrimmages start and everything. I just kind of zone out because I don't, you know, I can get lost. I can drown myself in YouTube videos and highlights and stuff. So I just kind of wait until they're in the uniform playing. And then I get into it. I appreciate you listening. And anything else? I'm trying to think. It's been like 3 months, I feel like. So try and make sure. I'm just excited for Duke basketball, and I really hope, even though they're young, I hope they can take us to a championship this year. It's a little bit of a drought with the amount of talent that's been there. I'm really high on Trey Jones, though, so I'm excited to see him running the point, as well as to see how O'Connell has developed and Bolden, see how he plays out this year. And one of you should, like, move to Burlington, North Carolina, and come sit in this other chair with me sometimes when I don't have anybody sitting here. I feel like talking just myself to the mic is fun. It's good, and I can do it fluently enough. But it's a lot better when there's somebody that is just as knowledgeable about what I'm talking about sitting beside me, going back and forth, like, you know, kind of like a tennis match. It just flows good. Sarcasm, jokes, things that you wouldn't be thinking about yourself and that they bring up. I kind of miss out on that sometimes. But I don't really like Skype and I don't really like phone conversations because I just feel like there's something missing about that. The in-person thing is just 100 times better in my opinion, but I mean, maybe we'll work a few things like that out during the season as well. So, looking forward to that. Let me know what you think about Grayson Allen, where he went, or where the other guys went, or what you think about the team upcoming this year. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I'm not going to drag this out anymore. So, thank you for the listens. We'll be doing a few jersey giveaways on Instagram, I think this week or next week, or leading up to the season. Me and Presley are about to go to Florida for 2 weeks. And then I'll get back, and soon after that, I'll drop another episode. So, thank you for the listens. Have a good weekend and week, and I'm out.